thank the choir. Everything is possible with God. Aren't you glad about that? Let's stand together. Take your hymn books. Turn to number 488. 488. God leads us along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Amen. 488. Together. Here we go.
In shady green pasture, so rich and so sweet, God leads us, dear children, along. Where the waters cool was the weary one's feet, God leads us, dear children, along. Some through the waters, some through the fire, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day.
Amen. As we face the new year this year, this is a good song to think about. God leads us along, whatever 2026 has in store for us. Amen. Let's sing the last verse together. Here we go.
Away from the fire, away from the clay, God leads us, dear children, along. Away up in glory, eternity's day, God leads dear children along.
Book number 28, great is thy faithfulness. Oh God, my Father, aren't you glad we have a faithful God?
Amen.
Amen. Nothing to fear in 2026. Our God is faithful. Be with us. Number 28, on the first verse, here we go.
Great is thy faithfulness.
There, we'll come back and sing the last verse, but take time to shake hands with those around you tonight. Let's sing that last verse together. Pardon for sin together now.
Pardon for sin.
Tonight. Thank you so much. You may be seated. It's always great to have Hector and Sharon visiting with us. Helped out a lot this morning as he played the piano. They're going to sing a duet for us now. And then watch night, they'll be singing for us as well. So make sure you come back to hear them sing. So Hector and Sharon will be doing a duet.
Chill of midwinter comes now among us, born into poverty's embrace, new life for the world.
Who is this who lives with the lowly, sharing their sorrows, knowing their hunger? This is Christ revealed to the world in the eyes of a child of the poor. What child is this stranger who lives in our midst,
looking for shelter among? The poor, the children of God. Who is this who lives with the lonely, sharing their sorrows, knowing their hunger? This is Christ revealed to the world in the eyes of a child of the poor.
So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him, the King of kings. Salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him.
So bring nothing to offer.
Strengthen the feeble.
Say to the frightened heart, fear not.
Here
is your God. Who is this? is Christ revealed to the world in the form of a child, a child of the poor, a child of the poor,
the babe, the Son of Mary.
Thank you, Rodriguez. What a blessing it is to have them sing for us. We want to know if you're visiting with us. Our ushers have cards and pens, and if you would slip up your hand, they'll give you one. You could fill it out and drop it in the offering plate. We'd love to have a record of your visit. If you're visiting with us, hold it up high. They all have glasses, so they need you to hold it high and wave at them a little bit. Amen. Appreciate you doing that. It is so good to see everybody back tonight. I appreciate you being faithful. A lot of folks to pray for on our prayer list, but before we get to that, again, want to make sure that we give you all the updates and these are all resumes, not resumes, all right? We want to resume some things in the brand new year, for all of you that got that joke, I saw some smiles, but the rest of you are still trying to catch up, amen? Have the Bible Institute, Bible Scouts, all our normal things, the Bible, the meal before Bible Institute, all those things are going to resume on January 7th, and then Senior Patriots will resume on Saturday, January 10th, looking forward to that as well. Then our Village Bible Study resume on Wednesday, January 7th. Don't forget, Brother Donahue's headed out, and he took off today and is going to be making a long trip. Won't be back till February, so if you can, put him on your prayer list. Pray for him often as he travels. He needs that prayer for him as he ministers, and then also as he is trying to go to graduations, just really touch base with so many different places on that trip that he'll be gone for about 3 months there. So if you would, be in prayer for him. And then also, don't forget that we have our offices closed until January 1st is over, and then back up and going again on our regular scheduled time there on January 2nd and continuing on into the new year. Contribution statements won't be out until January 31st, but if you want to get counted for this year, you need to get it in by December 31st, or at least in the mail by then, postmarked, to be headed this way. And speaking of December 31st, that's Wednesday, and we're going to have a fellowship and a watch night service, and we want you to be here with us. And so it's going to be a good time. You say, well, I've never prayed in the new year, never been around God's people. Well, I can tell you one of the things you won't see. There won't be a big ball dropping in here, and there won't be any dancing at the end of the night or anything like that. That's what the world does. Here we pray in the brand new year, and instead of trying to have a party the year out and into the new, we pray out the old year and pray in the new. You say, well, what's wrong with dancing? Well, the Bible says there's a time to dance. I'm just not sure that's the time for it. Amen. But again, be in prayer. Again, as we'll have that good service, invite somebody to come with you. And they'll learn that you can have a good time at church as well. We have a good time singing gospel hymns. And if you're not done with Christmas carols like me, and you want to hear a few more, you'll be able to request a few. Brother Bert is going to be flying out to the land of fruits and nuts. That's California, if you didn't know where that was, okay? And to see his grandbabies, and so you pray for him as he goes. But Tyler's going to have the privilege of trying to sing all those songs that you request. And so you get, you know, so don't test him, because I don't know that he knows as many as Brother Bert does, all right? You may be up here leading it as well. But again, we'll have a good time. Bring out all those different things. It says here, sandwiches, chicken chips, desserts, finger foods, all those good things, and bull peanuts. Got to put that on the list as well. All the different things. As we turn our attention to the prayer list tonight, want you to be in prayer for, again, Brother Donahue, Brother Bird, as he travels, and his wife there to go see the grandbabies out there. Just pray for a lot of other folks, our college students, all those will be traveling during these holidays to get back to us. Be in prayer for Brother Perkins. He wasn't here this morning feeling sick. Just pray for him as not feeling well. A lot of other folks, Brother Correa has not been feeling well. Appreciate him being here tonight and being in his place, stuff knocking them down. I know I'll just, for my, you know, pray for my home church. They canceled their services this past Christmas Eve because there's just a wave of sickness. And even our families up there, it's in our families to the point where they canceled their Christmas parties and Christmas gatherings in the family because there was so much sickness. So just pray, if you would, for my home church there at SBT. Just a lot of different things going on with sickness and things. So if you would, continue to pray for Miss Cindy Bradford. Eli Morgan there gave an update a little bit. If you weren't in here this morning or this past Wednesday night, just update that there's been, the doctors have called and they have a thing that they can do with some injections. And so they'll be going ahead and doing those things, and they're hoping that that is going to be able to strengthen and have things get in place that they ought to be. We're, and again, pray that God will use that, amen, for his honor and glory, and that this will help as the things, again, not where we, you know, want to be yet, but be in prayer for that, that God will do above all that we could ever ask or think through those things. And also pray for their safety. They're going to be driving to Orlando weekly for that. And so let's be in prayer there. Let's pray for Miss Lori Brewer's mom and dad, as both of them are fighting cancer there. Continue to pray for Miss Carter as she heals up. Others on our cancer list we want to mention to you, Brother Bob Paulin, Linda Hennessy, Bill Brinkworth. He's having some really bad reactions to some of the things the doctors are trying to give him to shrink his cancer. And so just be in prayer there for him that they'll get that balanced out or right. Others that have turned in prayer requests tonight, Robbie Kerr, we're going to be in prayer there for an illness. Want to be in prayer for Randy Short. Saw Brother Randy tonight, but want you to pray there. The note says it's received a recent report of severe kidney damage. And so just want you to be in prayer there. Looks like a serious infection as well. So let's pray there. Already mentioned Brother Brinkworth and then Joan Miller. We're going to add to the cancer list there. Want to continue to pray for her there. They just love our church and they're coveting our prayers at this time. Continue to pray for Kyle, Randy, and Hazel Smith's grandson there. We talked about that this morning, but had that hand crushed and that press and has had a successful surgery. But continue to pray, if you would, for just all the healing that comes afterwards. And then also Tom Fellow's daughter, Lisa, who also had a hand and a hand surgery from a dog bite on her hand and then had an infection to follow that. And then I want to mention to the church, I did not know this. I heard this afternoon, got the news that our missionary, Mark Mariner, his wife had a miscarriage. They were coming back into the States to have the baby, and that she had a miscarriage and, again, had some things posted, just asking everybody to pray for them. You know, the progress is going well right now, and so mom is okay at this point, but just be in prayer for them. I know that just a day ago, so be in prayer. It's our missionary, not only a missionary, but our graduate from the college as well. So I want you to be in prayer for him. Let's stand together. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer and pray for these needs and requests. I'm going to ask Brother Spadano, would you make your way up here and pray for us tonight? Appreciate him and soul winning, faithful soul winner. Amen. And I appreciate him going soul winning and being a good man in our church. You pray for us, brother.
All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another day to be in your house. And Lord, there's always many people that are sick and not feeling well. And Lord, we just ask that you lift them up. God, we know that Satan's on the warpath. We know you won the victory, Lord, in their lives and in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your love, your mercy, your grace. Father, we pray you be with Pastor tonight as he brings the word or whoever's bringing the word. We just ask that your spirit be upon it and you change us by your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
You may be seated. Our choir is going to sing for us now. We need Jesus.
We need Jesus.
Jesus, as we face a new year this week. Amen. Let's stand together. Take your hymn books again. Turn to number 510. 510, another good song as we look forward to the new year. He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. Amen. He leadeth me. 510. On the first verse.
He leadeth me.
So much. You may be seated. Before our message this evening, Brother Jerry Roberts is going to sing for us now.
The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the curtain of memory now. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human and tend to forget. So remind me, dear Lord. Nothing good have I done serve God's own Son. I'm not worthy of the scars in His hands. Yet He chose a road to Calvary to die in my stead. Why He loved me, I can't understand. Could have been. Remember, I'm human and tend to forget. So remind me, dear Lord. So remind me, dear Lord.
Remind me, dear Lord. Thank you, Brother Roberts. What a blessing. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight and turn on to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we'll hear from the greatest preacher who ever lived. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. And oftentimes we get in that passage and the Beatitudes and we forget that Jesus is preaching a Sermon on the Mount. And by the way, I don't think he got it in 30 minutes. All right. It doesn't start in chapter 6, okay? It goes on. And I think sometimes when we look at it, once you find it there in Matthew chapter 6, if you would, put one of your ribbons there or put something in your Bible and turn with me. I want to tie this in, and I want to lay a foundation for what is going to be said. And in Hebrews chapter 11, where we've been studying our Bible study, and I just want to read one verse there to kind of lay down a foundation and to key in with Jesus is better and he's preaching. But it defines who God is by faith in chapter 11 and what faith is. And so once you've found your place in Matthew chapter 6, if you turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and reminding some things, we are at the end of a year and looking into a new one. If you come out on watch night service, but as far as Sundays, this is the last one we got in the year. And I appreciate you being here tonight. And I hope that some things will be said. And for brevity, I hope, that everybody's hoping the preacher will be short and sweet tonight. So it might be short. I can't guarantee the sweet part, amen, or the short. Anyway, but I want you to just focus in on with me. I want to try to give you some homework, which just sounds terrible when it's a break time. Maybe research. Let's call it research for your own selves tonight. But I want to lay a foundation in Hebrews chapter 11. If you would look in verse 6, the Bible says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is," and then it puts an "and" there, right? "And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." It is very important for all of us to be reminded that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is not the big man in the sky. He's not somebody with a big hammer waiting to judge and to slam you on top of the head. God is a God of instruction who loves you and who wants you to obediently serve him and receive reward. The first thing you ever got when you got Jesus, this time of year is a time that we mark receiving something sent from God in his only begotten Son. And when he died on Calvary, the first thing you ever really got from God was an eternal gift, and that was eternal life when you received him. He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you accept Jesus as your Savior, you're going to get some things. The sad part is many of us serve God and we don't worry about reward. Really, to know God, we have to know that if we're going to please him, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is existing, but he's also a rewarder. He's not a God. He's a God when you do right. He's a God that blesses. In chapter 5 of Matthew, he's going to have all these blessed or beatitudes, blessed things. If we do and are obedient to the commands of God, he's going to bless us. All of us want to be blessed of God. Those are rewards on this side of heaven and some on the other. Some for the Jew in the millennial kingdom. I want you to turn back to Matthew chapter 6. And in the midst of it, not trying to read, there's no way we're going to do verse chapter 5 and chapter 6 and all the things that I'd love to do tonight. And this may be more like a Bible study for you, but I hope that I give you some things that you'll take with you and you'll be able to evaluate some things in your life and look at that, and that it'll do more than help you adjust tonight. But it'll give you some things, not questions, but maybe answers to seek after, because God is a great rewarder. He says those things in chapter 5 and in chapter 6. I can't read the entire chapter. I want you to do that. Most of you are familiar enough. Jesus speaking in verse 1 tells us to take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Most of the beginning of the chapter is all about things that we do that we will receive reward for if we do it the right way. Alms is not necessarily your tithe that you're putting in your plate. The tithe that's put in the plate is something that God has commanded us to do. Alms is something that you're giving to help someone else. It's an alms for the poor, if you could put it that way. It's something that you give of yourself that isn't required of you, and that, listen, you're going to get a reward in heaven if you give it. The problem is sometimes we want to take the $100 bill out and let everybody see it and wave it in the air and then hand it to someone so everyone sees that we gave it to somebody. We want to be seen of men when we do something good, and we have a reward. The scripture is going to go over our alms. It's not only going to stop there, but in the next thing, it's going to tell us from verse 5 to 11, it's going to speak about our prayer. Do you know prayer has great reward? Many of us trust in the Lord, but we don't want to trust Him by praying. And then it gets into the Lord's Prayer, and if you're not careful, you'll get into this place, and I'm hitting high marks tonight because I'm going to get down to the nitty-gritty. If I did everything and got all the rubber where it meets the road, we'd be here for a while tonight. But prayer, He's going to specifically speak to them, and He says in verse 7, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetition." But then everyone takes this thing and prays it over and over again, word for word. And it all starts with don't do that. He's going to tell you, don't say it over and over again. He doesn't even say that He wants us to pray this exact prayer. They'll use this as the model prayer. And you know why? It's because those who know what it is means it's true. It's a model. It's a framework. He even uses the term in verse 9, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." That word manner means in this model, in this way. He wants you to praise Him. That's what He does first. Look at the scripture with me. He says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, O Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." I know where He is, high and lifted up. His name is to be hallowed. That means honored above all other names. By the way, all of those of you that are reading the book of God's word, He says He lifted this book up above His hallowed name. So where should that place in your life? He goes on and He tells us not only that this is such a great thing, and He says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." That it's a yielding to God's will and way. God, I'm praising You that Your will is better than my will. And I don't want Your will just to be done in heaven, have it done here on earth. If His will is going to be done here on earth, who's going to have to get it done? You and I. He's going to use you and me. And so the prayer, even in its, we're praying, we're asking, we're looking at it. He says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Do you know that even in scripture here is going to tell us that there's a reward in forgiveness, and there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it? And how we pray, I'm just going to tell you, when you have unforgiveness, don't think your prayers are going to hit the ceiling. When you have aught against your brother, you're going to pray and ask God to help you, and He says, "I require forgiveness." Look at what it says. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Those trespasses means what? Now, it ain't about, you know, when somebody knocked on your door, or somebody walked on your lawn when they shouldn't have walked on your lawn. That's what we think trespassing is. Trespassing is where somebody crosses into an area they shouldn't be in your life. When they've wronged you. When they've done something that they shouldn't have done. And people do trespass upon us. Brothers and sisters in Christ trespass us on a regular basis. Some of them don't even know they did, and some do. But again, what does the Bible tell us? Does it say, you know, does it give us a long list of if they do it this way, it's okay for you not to forgive? I don't see that. It just tells us to forgive. And He says there's a reward, "But if ye forgive not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Most of us don't even see our own trespasses because we're too busy looking at someone else's. By the way, if you want to get into that, you can go into chapter 7 where it tells you, "Judge not, lest you be judged." He's going to go all into, all you can see is theirs because you haven't pulled the beam out of your own eye yet. He's going to preach and tell us that. And again, for us, we are never going to see it because we got our own beam stuck in our eye, and we're never going to see it because from our angle and where we live, they don't deserve forgiveness. But I ought to forgive. Why? There's great reward. Can I share with you again, the person who gets the best result from forgiveness is the one who forgave, not the one being forgiven. And we miss it, and we miss it, and we don't because we think we're stronger, or somehow we're selling somebody out, or we're hurting someone else, when God clearly teaches us that we ought to forgive. Forgive for Christ's sake if you're saved. It tells us that. But I'll tell you tonight, forgive for your own sake. There's great reward in it. He's going to go everything he talks about. He's going to get into the next section. And not only was he talking about that, but about fasting. And by the way, fasting is a biblical thing and a practice that's not only for your health, but is also for telling God you're serious, being able to hear from heaven, letting that, you're pushing past your own fleshly needs and appealing to the Spirit of God, shutting down what the flesh wants and asking God to do something that's bigger than your flesh. That's all in the Spirit. You say, well, what does Jesus know about it? I don't know. He only fasted for 40 days. You think he could preach on it? I think he could preach on it. All right? You got a 100% man and 100% God who came, and before he would start his earthly ministry, he fasted 40 days so that he might receive power to be able to minister. And oftentimes we won't go one meal without, you know, I mean, we wouldn't short one so that we could have power in the Sunday school class. Now, lightning isn't going to fall from heaven or anything. What it does is gets us in tune with God's will and his way and his word. You say, preacher, why are you saying that? Because again, there's great reward when we do it God's way. Sometimes we fast, and if we do fast and we have the wherewithal to do that, what do? Look at the verse. Look at verse 16. He's going to say, moreover, when you fast, be not as a hypocrite, a sad countenance. Oh, I'm so hungry. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their what? Reward. All of this is about reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face. I think you ought to wash your face whether you are fasting or not fasting. But anyway, verse 18, you know what he's trying to get at here? He says that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Well, I fasted and God didn't do anything. Well, did you do it God's way? Or did you let everybody around you know what you were doing? I'm just going to be honest with you. When the Bible has shall, God means business when we do it God's way. And he'll reward us, what? Not in secret, but openly. God is a good God, and we ought to follow his practices. I believe that some of this, if we just took this to heart in our prayers and in our almsgiving, in the way we forgive and the way we fast, what a year we could have in 2026. Let me ask you to go back and look at 2025. Can you mark off any times that you fasted, that you forgave, that were memorable and reward came and the blessings of God came? How about if we talk about alms and giving to someone else and you watch God bless and give it back to you because you did it in secret? You didn't let your left hand know what your right hand was doing when you gave it. How about even beyond that? How about prayer? How much time in 2025 did we spend on our knees praying for our country? We like to complain. If all of us in this building today decided to convert our complaint into prayer, what kind of prayer life our church would have if we took our complaints and we took them all to God and we fell on our face and praised God for his goodness and say, God, there's some things that need changing. God, we need your help. God, there's some things that ain't right in our church. There's some things that aren't right in our nation. God, if we could just come before your face and see you do a work, and if you coupled that with fasting and forgiveness, what a blessing we would receive. What a reward there would be waiting for you in heaven because you did it for God's way. You say, preacher, listen, I'm not even in the message yet. I just want you to go back and review it for yourself. I'm doing it at 100 mile an hour, but this is good. This is Jesus preaching. It is the one who we believe in and is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And he's preaching on how to get the reward. Don't you think you ought to listen up and tune your ears in and read over that passage and study it? Because I don't want to do it. Listen, I would hate to live my whole life and give and pray and forgive and fast and do it my whole life long wrong. And then come to a place where I stand before him wanting to see reward, but receive nothing for the time that I've spent seeking him because I did it my way. Frank Sinatra did it his way. Look where it got him. we miss sometimes the greatest things that can be found in the scripture. But I want to show you three things that I want to remind you about that you absolutely know. But I want to take back and look at 2025, and I want to look ahead to 2026, because I think sometimes if we're not careful, with the wrong kind of eyesight, we set goals for ourselves for a brand new year when all of our goals should be set for heavenly rewards. We ought to look, how can I change my life, or how can I change the way I served God last year so that I can receive a better reward, so I don't lose reward? I want you to look at it with me. He comes through all of this about reward, and then he says, lay not, up in verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In context with reward, he tells us where to put the reward. You see, many of us are happy, and there are many hypocrites throughout the scripture and live in our day who are happy to receive their reward here. Because they've never considered the fact that there's another place I could lay them up. And then instead of having a reward that is a pat on the back here, or a that-a-boy here, or somebody, I get one more notch up on somebody's list of good guy, I could lay up for myself treasures in heaven. Let me ask you this. If we were to go back and just make a list, and for all of us, I realize that many of you, I'm preaching at the workers, the people who put in the time. But if we really were to go back and we were able with perfect memory to measure this past year of what we did in the flesh and what we did in the spirit and what we will receive reward for or what we just did to be seen of men, what would our calculations be? Did I get out of bed and go because I love the Lord Jesus, or did I go because I had to be there? And again, I'm not saying that every day you're going to smile, but again, you teach in the Christian school. Listen, I know, and you know, you can get paid more doing it somewhere else. But the benefits aren't better other places. Every day you can lay up heavenly reward. You tell me a public school on planet Earth that you can sit down and take your Bible and you're encouraged to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with your student. And that every year there's an expectation that you get in the home and visit the parents and care about their home and pray for them and see change and growth in young people for the cause of Christ. Again, it's not about just the day-to-day. It's more than reading, writing, and arithmetic. It's about reward. It's about laying up reward. It's about a calling that God put on our life. And that could be said for Sunday school. God put me in my class, and I'm a teacher on Sundays of little children, and I want to have reward. I don't just want to go Sunday and see that come and go and have my reward on earth as the parents are thankful that I didn't kill their kids while Sunday took place. Amen. I don't want the only reward to be whatever it is that teacher getting you to the fruitcake that I got at Christmas time. And I'm not talking about the parents. I'm talking about the cake that they gave you. Amen? Hey, for all of us, he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. Where what? Why does he say it's not a good place? Because here, everything winds down. In heaven, things don't rust. They do not corrupt. There's nothing that's going to eat it away. It is preserved. There's preservation for putting my reward. It will wait for me. And the one that guarantees that is good for what he guaranteed. There will never be inflation in heaven. It will never lose value. It will always be a great reward when I reach heavenly shores. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in where? Heaven. Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. And then he says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Our hearts direct us. It teaches us what is true treasure. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. One of the most treasured things in my life is sitting in this auditorium tonight. And his name is Easton. But I'm going to tell you, you know what? The most treasured thing that can happen to Easton is for him to be in heaven. And if we're not careful, all the things, we'll get so focused on all the things that we give them and all the things that we hear them say and all the pictures that we take and all the fun times that we have on earth, we do not focus on the singular most important thing is their eternal soul. And folks, I'm just going to tell you, we got to be reminded that even in our home and those close to us, all of those things, I want to go to heaven with every memory. I want to sit down along with my grandkids and my kids and have stories of serving God on earth and seeing things and not, listen, by the way, not just things that will moth and corrupt, but things we laid hands on together in the work of God. And we laid up reward together because we worked on it together. We built it together. We were there at the same time. I said, remember, listen, when we tell the story, I want one of my grandkids to butt in and say, let me tell the rest of the story, Grandpa. Let me finish it. Because he was there. You say, preacher, why are you saying that? Because I believe sometimes if we're not careful, we miss, our heart ought to direct us to the things of God. I want you to see what he says next. And I got to hasten, but he says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? When we think about looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and keeping our eyes on him, this says that we have our eye, and our eye needs to be single. It's going to go in and tell us that no man can serve two masters in verse 24, because our heart directs our eyes, and we want to look at that which is precious to us, and our eyes will tell us that. Most sin is things that is in our heart, and we treasure it, and we have to see it with our eyes. We have to look at it. We take pictures with our eyes of things. And again, by the way, it doesn't have to be great sin. Instead of focusing on things of God, we're looking at all the things that we don't have. All the things that we could have because we treasure them. But he says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. I want to remind you tonight that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where was your treasure in 2025? That's point number one for you tonight. What is it that you treasured above all else in 2025? And again, take that picture. I guarantee you, if you put God first, guess who else is going to come first? Your family. They don't come second. When you put God first, he's the one that commanded you to take care of your family. He's the one that commanded. Listen, all of his commands, the blessing is not a balance. People look at this life and are working with our families as that we got to balance our time, family and church and all these things. No, all of them should be, all of the commands of the Bible are for you, okay? So that should be, if I'm going to go, if it's right for me to do, who else is it right for to do? My children. And if I'm going to do things, I'm going to take them with me. We're going to do it together. We're going to serve God. You say, well, what about our schedule? Work on the schedule thing. Well, you know, you say, preacher, why are you getting after this? Because I do believe if we took in, you know, where's my treasure? Where was my treasure in 25? Well, what about who was your master in 2025? What owned you? Who controlled you and told you what to do and where to go? I can tell you, most people, it's three different things. It's either going to be God, self, okay, that's humanistic, or it's going to be things. Something owned you, or you directed you, or did you let God direct you? You want to have a great 2026, make some decisions to make God the treasured person of your life. And everything he says that is worthy of your treasure and reward, set it. Hey, how about who's the master? You know how to fix it. How do I fix that treasure? Then make God the treasure. make the pleasing of God from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 possible by obedience to His word, seeking Him and seeking reward. You say, preacher, why are you getting to that? Because that's where Jesus goes when he gets to verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, do you know all the people sitting there with Him that night? You know what most of the things that owned them, their thoughts and their mind was on what they were going to wear, what they were going to eat, where they were going to put their head. All their thoughts were all these worries on daily things. And He says, take no thought for your life after that. He says, what I put first, what I put paramount, how to have a great 2026. Look back. What did you put first? What did you seek first on a daily basis? It changed everything. If you're morning, you wake up. One of the best times, and I know people say, I'm not a morning person. It's not good for me in the morning. Well, become a morning person. Whatever time of the morning it is, I'm just going to tell you, how could you wait to the last part of your day and spend that peace with God? I don't know about you, but I need Him all day long. How do you meditate on the scripture all day long if you don't spend time with Him in the morning? Now, I'm not saying that you need to spend an hour. Most of us got deep enough truth getting in one single verse and God putting that verse and me meditating on it all day long and thinking about what God told me to do and applying it to my life. Seeking God early in the morning. Jesus practiced that. We ought to practice that. We ought to have a time where we spend time with God. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. I encourage you to read the entire chapter, and every piece of it will help you, because again, raiment, food, all these things, most of us, what are we going to have for dinner tonight? Dr. Pitts went home to be with the Lord. You know what he ain't worried about now? He ain't worried about what's for dinner tonight. I can't tell you how many times I've seen him look at his wife and say, what are we having for dinner tonight? Because if we're not careful, that we get so caught up on all the things. Now, I'm going to tell you, you ought to have a plan for dinner, right? But it ought not to be something that consumes our life. It ought not own us. If we're not careful, we live in a day of foodies. They ship us meal kits to our house so we can try new things and all. And I'm not against all that stuff. I realize the life that we live is busy. But I want to seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then even the food and the raiment and everything, all the other things are going to be added to my life. It's not like God says, don't worry about what you're going to make, but put God first and then He'll take care of it. He'll provide what you need. He'll take care of it. Clothes, you need some clothes? You want some nice clothes for 2026? Put God first, and all these things shall be added unto you. He'll take care of that. See, we miss the fact that what happens after. What do you mean, take no thought for your life? Put God first, and you won't have to worry about it. God will provide the things that you need. It is the greatest blessing of our life to walk and watch God provide what we need instead of us pursuing what we need on a daily basis and forgetting who He is and what He's done for us and what He really wants us to do so that we can receive reward. Folks, I just want to do this. I love this church and I love you as believers. And I would do you a disservice as your pastor to not preach and to teach you to seek God first and to seek a right reward when you cross over the swelling tide and you walk down and stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And He says, you know what? You did a lot for me, but you did it all wrong for the wrong motives. You didn't forgive. You prayed a lot, but you never forgave. You held that thing deep inside your soul. And I couldn't hear you because I couldn't forgive you because you didn't forgive somebody else. So many times in this life, God, we pursue God, but we pursue Him on our own terms. And God, in the form of Jesus Christ, the God-man, came and stood on a mountainside and preached, and it is recorded in the scripture so that we could have His preaching on how we rightly receive reward. Don't you think we ought to heed it? So in 2026, are you going to lay up your treasure in the same place? I hope so. I hope last year that it was laying it up in heaven. But if it wasn't, it's not too late. We can change that and say, this is where I'm going to lay my reward up. This is what I'm going to focus on. How about who was the master of all, your life and your direction? Was it the Lord Jesus? If not, you can make him that this year. Was your life seeking God first and letting all the other things and all the cares of this life be added to you? Or was it, I put everything else first and I got to God last? Can I ask you to do this? Listen, a lot of the prayer was model, the manner in which we pray. Even seeking God and walking with him daily is a manner in which we put who we put first. Do you know even our tithe is that? Giving God the first 10%, not the last 10%, or whatever's left over, but giving God first. And guess what he says? And all these things shall be added unto you. You know, if we could just get that God wants us to show up first at his door so that everything that comes after it, we can give him credit for and we can praise his name for it. Now, we can all pursue it and spend all our days seeking after it and hunting it down and getting it and then saying, I worked hard for this. Or we can say, I put God first and look at what he's done and he's provided. Can I refer you to somebody who put God first and all the things were added to him? Abraham. And he never wanted for anything. In fact, he had so much stuff, him and Lot decided to go in different directions because the land could not bear them because God had blessed them with so much. Put God first. He loves you. He cares for you. It's not just a belief in who he is, but that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Tonight, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you've never put your faith and trust in him, that's the first step of seeking after him. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See, nobody enters into heaven unless they're righteous. And that means absolutely perfect. Now, you're looking at a preacher who's not absolutely perfect, but I put my faith and trust in the one person who came from heaven and died on Calvary and paid my sin debt, who was righteous. Absolutely perfect, and his righteousness was imputed to me when I was born again into his family. Tonight, listen, God wants us to seek him, but the first seeking him I've ever done in my life was falling on my faith and accepting him as Christ, as my Savior, as my imputed righteousness, as the one who paid for my sin debt. If you've not done that tonight, I encourage you. Would you accept Christ as your Savior? Don't put it off till next year. Do it tonight. Put him first. Start it now, this year, before the new year comes in, and accept Christ as your Savior. If you're a Christian, I asked you a lot of questions tonight. The song that was sung was Remember. I'm asking you to remember 2025. Are you happy with the reward that you'll receive from your service of 2025? God, listen, I'm going to tell you, we could all do more. I'm not asking about more. I'm asking about how you sought God, how you served God. Was he master of everything? And where did you lay your treasure up? What were you focused on trying to treasure in this life? I beg you, church, it's going to matter. How we deal with this chapter of the Bible and how we apply it to our life will change everything when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You say, preacher, how am I supposed to do that? Study his word. Apply it to our life. Seek him first. Lay up treasure in heaven. Listen, this has been a great place to lay up treasure, amen? This is part of that. But that's not the only way we can do that. There's so many different things in this life and people that we would consider almsgiving, giving to people that are less fortunate. You say, well, I don't know who those people are. Yeah, well, if they're lost, then they're less fortunate than you are. They desperately need the riches of the gospel preached unto them. About master. None of us will ever master this life, but we have a master, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for the day that I let him rule and reign in the affairs of my life. And you will be glad for that day. Maybe tonight you just need to come down and say, Lord, I made you master of my life, but I took the throne room back. And I'd like to give it back to you. Maybe you need to come and say, God, I treasured the things that you treasured, but I got off track this past year, and I want to get it right with you. Maybe you say, preacher, I've been seeking God, but not like I should have. And I want to spend this year seeking after him. Look, you don't have to wait till watch night. Listen, the message tonight is for us to remember the last year and the focus tonight to get it right before we go into a new. I encourage you to stand to your feet tonight. I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to help us. The invitation is mainly to Christians tonight to do what God's asked you to do. I've given you so much to weigh in on. Now I'm asking you, preaching is this. I preach it, and then I ask for a response. I encourage you to do something with it tonight. Don't put it off till tomorrow. Don't procrastinate and not seek the Lord in the new year. I'm going to pray, and musicians are going to come. The altar's open if God's speaking to your heart. Dear God, I pray that you be with us tonight. Help us. As Christians, Lord, we need you. We need you every hour, God, tonight and this hour. Help us as we get ready to head into a brand new year, Lord, to seek you. Help us not to face you without reward, but God, help us to do it in your motives, with right motives, in the right manner, Lord. And help us, Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us to love you and to focus our heart and life on you and to have the right treasure before our eyes. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender.
Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Folks have come. You can still come. Maybe God spoke to your heart tonight and you say, oh, preacher, I can't get down on the altar. Maybe you just need to come to the front pew and talk to God. Sit down and say, God, I love you. And all these things that were preached tonight, I want them for my life. Maybe you don't know anything beyond that, but why don't you respond? That's what God wants from you. He wants you to respond and to do his will and his way. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as Savior. I did not preach a salvation message, but I told you about the one that can save you. His name is Jesus. He died on Calvary and paid your sin debt. If you're here tonight and you've never put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, tonight we could take a Bible and show you how you could put your faith and trust in Jesus. His finished work of Calvary, his death, burial, and resurrection that paid for your sin debt. Tonight, I beg you, if you're here and you're lost, on your way to hell, and you want to go to heaven, then let us take the Bible and show you how you can accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. He paid for your gift of eternal life. I pray tonight, would you be born again? Would you step out and come? Brother Bert's going to give you an opportunity to come as he sings.
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take